Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to today's episode, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that I have really been thinking about for a long time and has sparked some more recent debate in the public sphere, so great time to rehash this. The work from home reckoning. Work from home, in-office work, big debate right now. A lot of changes in the economy. We're seeing a lot of people being forced to return to office. We're seeing some pretty popular comments made by Jamie Dimon on what working from home looks like for big corporations. I'm going to share a little bit about some of my experiences working from home and working in an office. We're going to go over the positives and negatives, the way I see it. And then we're going to get into a little bit more of the themes of some of these debates, where I don't know if it's necessarily a location argument per se. It's more about people, power, and the future of work itself, about control. So I'd like to get into that today. It's a really hot topic right now, as I just mentioned. A lot of people on either sides of the fence, I've noticed some commonalities between those two camps, and I'm going to outline those a little bit later on as well. But just to begin, I feel like it's best to start off with kind of where I sit on this debate and then kind of let you know a little bit about my biases before we get into it. And then I'll share kind of a little bit more about what I see as the heart of this. So for me, I've been somebody who worked in office most of my career, and more recently in the pandemic era, and then after the pandemic era, kind of in the last year or so, I've been in a remote role as well. So just to, you know, a little bit about it, I do concede that early opportunities in my life did help shape me in office. Being able to learn from folks who had 20 plus years experience and, you know, people who just helped you acclimatize to your everyday life was definitely valuable. Most people do need someone to help them kind of adapt to what it's like to be a 9-to-5 pro or a business person or anything like that, especially if you've been to university or college, which is, you know, pretty much night and day compared to the corporate world. I remember getting on the bus every morning and every night, sometimes in total darkness on both sides of the equation. And it is for sure an experience that I take with me going forward, definitely. I'm not sure I would necessarily mandate that everybody else necessarily has to do that themselves, has to get on the bus, has to suffer. But for me, it was something that led me to kind of want more in my life. I definitely wanted a car. I definitely wanted a job that didn't require an hour's commute each way. And that original experience definitely propelled me to search for a little bit more. It directly led me to seek out better opportunities that took me away from having to do that every day, right? So, you know, should we pull the ladder up behind us? Should I feel like everyone new in their career has to go in the office? No, but that was my experience. That is something that I hold very dearly to me. I remember my first job was a logistics sales job, and I had to get on the bus, and I had to go and make about 100 cold calls a day, and it did not instill anything but a want for better in my life, and a reminder that, you know, if I wasn't going to look for more or ask for more from my life, that this would kind of be it. So, you know, if I didn't have that experience early on, it might have sent me in a different direction in my life, and I'm definitely very grateful for it, right? Onto the work from home side, I was first offered work from home during the pandemic, and this is a weird time for me because I actually started a new job and kind of a new career field as well. It was challenging. I definitely had some imposter syndrome, and it really opened my eyes to kind of what is possible. It was tough to prove myself, but once I did, I definitely started to gain a lot of confidence, and this really started to change my opinion about work from home. For sure, I was somebody who felt it wasn't necessary, who felt that certain people didn't work as hard, and it would definitely be something that was ripe for abuse for any employees that were already doing much of the same in office. That was kind of how I felt about it. After about 2 years of commuting, I was definitely ready to continue to do that, but I was offered the ability to work from home, and I grabbed it with both hands. Just objectively speaking, it has been night and day for me. I was an office cat before, for sure. Somebody who prided himself on being a presence, on being there on time, 5 days a week. That was me. It has been night and day since I started working from home, just personally. Besides getting my work done and excelling in that category, which I'm quite proud of, I've also started to read more. I've started to create more. And I made a pact to myself to use the extra 1 to 2 hours of my day a lot more efficiently, and it's really helped to change my life around. I was able to hit personal goals I haven't seen in years. I look and feel happier. My performance also did improve at work because I was happier, and it started to create a feedback loop in my life where things really did start to compound, start to change, and it allowed me to do things that maybe I wasn't looking at doing in the past, something like a podcast, right? So that's my personal background with working from home. Currently, I do that as well. Don't see anything changing in the near future. Not opposed to it, but I felt that it would be important to share where I come from on this side of the debate before I share my overall thoughts and we kind of lay it out a little bit more, right? In my opinion, this debate, in-office work, remote work, it's not necessarily framed the right way, in my opinion. It's framed as a where issue, but it's really about who benefits from each model. On one hand, you have CEOs, shareholders, people managers, and on the other hand, you have your wage workers, your worker bees, your salaried employees, right? Those are the kind of two camps that I see most of the strong opinions coming from on each side. I'm not saying that that's kind of everybody fits in one of the two buckets, but definitely the people that are central to this debate and are the loudest fit on one or the other, right? So let's go to some of the positives from working from home, and then we'll go for some of the negatives, right? When we're talking about some of the positives just in general, we're looking at happiness and mental health as the number one. People are simply happier when they have more control over their time. The ability to take even just a 5-minute break without scrutiny, without somebody asking where you're going, is a very powerful thing. Just in general as well, this does result in a better definition of work, in my opinion, shifting from being seen working, being on the clock, being at a physical location, to producing results. If you are in a role where you are revenue tied, and that's how you make your money, is by bringing money to the company, it may not be necessary to be physically present. And if you can still keep up that same production level, then what would really be the argument from allowing you to work from wherever you want? As long as you can get your work done, right? This is a dream for self-starters. If you're somebody who can thrive independently, obviously you're gonna see working from home as a huge advantage. I definitely fit in that bucket. I'm somebody who is always asking to do a little bit more. I definitely like to put myself in my manager's shoes as well. And you know, I'm doing even more and maybe above and beyond what I would do in office just to prove to people that I'm willing to go above and beyond when I'm working from home. This is definitely something that I've taken with me. I'm not saying that everyone does this, and I know that some folks maybe are taking a little bit more of an advantage of it, and we'll get to that in a second. But just in general, if you're somebody who doesn't really need to be given tasks all the time and you're somebody who likes to dive into things and likes to do deep work, working from home is incredible for that. Finally, I've really never heard anyone say out loud that they prefer 5 weeks or 5 days a week in office. Not really any employee that I've ever interacted with has said that. I've heard a lot of CEOs, I've heard a lot of managers and a lot of people who really like the office say that. Not really hearing that from folks who have to foot that bill, who have to come in, who have to commute every day. The last thing I'll mention is the commute itself. You have more time for personal growth, health, or just life itself. You have more money. You do not need to organize your life around this city commute anymore. You can organize it around your home space, creating a lot more efficiencies, just overall living a little bit more of a balanced lifestyle for sure. Onto the negatives, and there are definitely negatives. The first one that stands out to me is career progression. There clearly is a visibility gap. Now, what I just said is if you're a self-starter, you don't need to worry too much about working from home because you can produce results. However, doing the same sort of thing in office would clearly have a higher level of benefit or higher threshold of benefit because people can just see that you're working. Not everybody has a dashboard that kind of easily communicates what their value is. Some people are more of a glue guy sort of hire, somebody who can kind of do it all, who fits in well with their employees, who communicates well, who is a great facilitator. Those people do really well in corporations, and it's harder to kind of codify that when you work from home. So that's definitely a big one. If you're looking to learn from anyone, impress anyone, get promoted, all of these things are easy to achieve if you're in office proving yourself. There is obviously a higher threshold too. Being face on and present in virtual meetings is a lot different than being present and using your body language and using your skills every day in your office job. Even one small thing can lead to a loss of respect, a loss of respect in terms of your emotions or in terms of how people look at you. You know, if you have a bad day, for example, and you're working from home, not too many people would interact with you. Whereas if you have a bad day in office, it's clear that things are going to be handled a little bit differently. So that's the number one thing I would say is career progression and how that plays out. Again, you can still achieve that working from home, but a lot more to be achieved working in office. And that goes with mentorship and learning as well. When you're early in your career, it's tough to become something that you don't really have a blueprint for. And even in this remote world, it must be even more tough to model yourself around somebody who isn't physically present. Me myself, I've learned a lot from folks who took me into their office and showed me what they do, or pulled me aside and shadowed me for a day, or that kind of thing. So mentorship and learning as an adjunct from the career progression for sure, but it's definitely its own category of benefit as well, that you really can get ahead. And I know of folks that have gone really far just by being around the right people early enough in their career. In terms of organizations as well, it's clear that working from home is less of an organizational positive than being in office. It's easier to align goals and strategy when teams are physically present and in the same room. It's easy to go across the office and tap somebody on the shoulder, ask them for clarification on something. It's easy not to take things personally when they're communicated by word of mouth instead of email. And I've been guilty of this as well, maybe reading an email a little bit more catty than it actually is. If this was in person, the communication would be simplified, it would be easy, it would flow more naturally, and it would definitely be a benefit to the organization. Now again, organizations have proven that they can be nimble enough to handle this in the pandemic and going forward. So there are ways to circumnavigate this. Again, it's clear that in-person collaboration is unmatched. And organizations that are even hybrid are admitting this, and that's kind of why they're doing it. They do have designated days where everyone is expected to be on site. And that makes perfect sense. It really does. I can't fault anybody who agrees with that. Me, myself, I don't know if I would benefit the same way, but if the organization I worked for mandated it, I would have no choice. Finally, I would say one other negative of working from home, and this is clear and something I've experienced myself, onboarding. Integrating new employees is certainly harder when you're not in person. The amount of things that you can learn that are silent just by being a sponge on your first day of work by being in an office dwarfs what you can learn working from home. Even if you had a virtual room where each and all day I had a camera on the person I'm shadowing, I can ask them questions, I can talk to them, it still leaves a little bit to be desired on the final product. So those would be the negatives that I see working from home: your career progression, mentorship and learning, organizational clarity and onboarding. The positives being happiness and mental health, time and freedom, a better definition of work, a dream for self-starters, and eliminating the commute. So there are some trade-offs for sure. I think that there are, you know, as well, individually different motivations, and definitely depending on which career and which sort of job that you're in, that can make one argument a little bit more valuable than the other. For some, it's not so easy to see this on either side of the coin like I do. I can be fair about it. Some folks are definitely more bullish on the office life. And that brings us to Jamie Dimon's perspective. Jamie Dimon isn't unique in his thought process either. I do feel like I'm going to single him out a little bit because he was a little bit outspoken in his opinion, but generally CEOs have a sort of solidified stance on their return to office mandates more recently and on working from the office in particular. They generally believe that leadership should dictate work policies, not the employees. They say remote work is inefficient for decision-making roles. They argue that in-office presence is critical for culture and productivity. And they view return to office as necessary for mentorship and career growth, just like I said before. Jamie Dimon went a little bit further, and he emphasized that JP Morgan's leadership, not employees, will decide policies based on what's best for clients and the business, and not employees. He dismissed that remote work is He dismissed remote work as inefficient for certain roles, especially leadership. He reiterated his belief that in-person collaboration is better for productivity, for culture, for mentorship, particularly for younger employees. Again, we talked about that earlier. He did suggest that remote work could lead to reduced career growth, and employees who aren't in office aren't going to have that same progression as the ones who would be in office. And he acknowledged that some jobs can be done remotely, but it won't be happening at JP Morgan. Obviously, his language was a little bit more colorful than I'm going to get into on this podcast, but he basically put all in-office workers on a pedestal and kind of lambasted working from home in general, saying that his company would no longer be offering that to his employees, right? I think that there are definitely some truths to this. I also think it's fair to point out some of his biases, one of them being that he worked his whole life to be at the top of this pyramid. There's no doubt that he still wants that structure to be in place because he's the king of it. He's the leader of that company. So of course he would want the structure that he came up in to be in place for when he is the leader. Remote work definitely disrupts that power structure, and it's definitely harder to manage employees from a distance. It's also harder to fire them. It's also harder to assess their work. It's also harder to work with them in the same way that you maybe have for the last 30 years. The reality of B and C players taking advantage of working from home also exists, and it's frustrating for leadership. And I can definitely agree with this one. If I was the CEO, there's no way I would be able to believe that every single one of my employees at all times is not taking advantage of this. We're going to get into what I believe is the solution to this in people in a second. But if a company isn't hitting their targets, there's really no surprise that leadership is feeling justified in taking privileges away and mandating a return to office work. The old school mentality is definitely at play too with what Diamond is saying. If you don't like it, you don't have to work here. And I think that's the greatest way to wrap that up. And I'm really glad he threw that out there, because what he's not doing is he's not defining work in general. He is just saying we need to do what's best for us. And I think that every single person has the right to define what works best for them based on their experience, their knowledge, and, you know, well, they're a CEO of JP Morgan. He's not an idiot. He's a very accomplished man, and he has every reason to believe in what he's saying because he's been there and done that. So I totally agree there. I also think that there are some hidden forces behind return to office work, and I'd be not really being fair about this if I didn't mention them, right? The first one that stands out to me is the corporate real estate panic, or the corporate real estate dilemma that is currently at play, right? We have the pandemic that made commercial real estate leaders realize how fragile a lot of that was. If workers aren't coming into the office, the revenue from rents isn't going to be coming in. This changes the necessity of the downtown core, and it affects a lot of things that have compounding interest. Companies like Google, Facebook, you name it, have invested millions of dollars in their workspaces. Imagine what you would feel if you see them now empty, right? Large office leases also became massive liabilities. The entire downtown cores were clearing out, and some of those renewal periods happened during the pandemic. This led to a bunch of CEOs saying, well, we can reduce overhead and keep our productivity. Why don't we keep this opening? The problem is there's a lot of money tied up in these lease agreements, and it's no wonder that some of those CEOs actually have investments in these sort of commercial properties. They also have a ton of friends in these spaces. They also have a ton of arrangements that are predicated on commercial real estate. Commercial real estate has a huge, huge favor or thank you to give to the corporate world because they power each other, and you don't have one without the other. When workers realized how much of their jobs could be done remotely, for the first time in decades, they started to have leverage over their employees, or their employers, excuse me. The talent market favored them, office work started to change, and real estate companies did start to panic a little bit. It's no wonder that they were the first to bang the drum on return to office. So there are some real estate links to the return to office. There are some economic links. There are some control links on the CEO side. There's also another stealthy tactic at play here, and I just want to throw this out there. Return to office is a stealth layoff. It's a great way to trim overhead without having to pay any severance. Now, what do I mean by this? The reality is that companies know that people don't want to return to office. They know that. The problem that they have is that they let this cat out of the bag. People now know that companies can be operating fully functionally, fully remotely. We did this during the pandemic. You can no longer make that argument. You can no longer say that everyone has to be in office 9 to 5. It's just not realistic. So why return to office then? Well, we have probably a situation where a bunch of hiring was done in the pandemic or the post-pandemic liquidity phase. Companies were still growing, overhead was increasing, especially in tech where I work. Companies were grow, hiring. They let people work from home. The standards dropped a little bit, and then the chickens came home to roost. And loans were called back in, leases were put back up, and employers started to get back that grip on the employees. The shift kind of happened. And I remember this personally. It felt like post-pandemic, there were jobs hanging off every corner, and at every avenue you looked, there were recruiters, there was an abundance of work. When you went into an interview, you felt like you had a lot more power to ask for more money, for more privileges, for more work from home. Fast forward to today, and we're seeing a ton of return to office mandates, and it's absolutely no coincidence that this is happening. If I wanted to do a layoff, it would be rather expensive to me to lay off thousands of people. Instead of doing that, I can just make their lives hell, and I can ask them to return to office, and I can mandate it, seeing how many of them quit. And we do see a ton of people quitting. Of course, in this economy, people do want to keep their jobs. Return to office has been used as a stealth layoff tactic. Let me be absolutely clear about that. It was clear that this is what's going on, and it doubles as a great way to reorganize your structure. It also puts the power back in your hands now, because you're getting something out of your employees that they don't necessarily want to do. And you're telling them, well, if you don't like it, go work somewhere else. 3 or 4 years ago, that's not necessarily what you want to be telling your employees. In this reality, with the economic climate the way it is, with the job climate the way it is absolutely a smart tactic, because they know that there aren't a ton of jobs lined up to give these people exactly what they're asking for. Now, collectively, a lot of these companies have moved in lockstep. They've been moving away from working from home. Return to office has absolutely been bolstered by these mandates, and that's what I would say. We are stuck in these antiquated work models. Productivity has increased with AI. We're more efficient than ever. Why are we still clinging to this, right? The economy of life is also very expensive. Commuting costs a lot of money. Why opt back in? The physical structure of cities reflects these old work models as well. Offices, public transit, housing, they're all designed for a traditional 9-to-5 commute. Many home spaces are also not built for remote work at all. They're built for you to live. It's almost like these CEOs built a castle, and now they're defending it with all of their life to make sure that the castle runs the same way it did 10 years ago. If return to office was about what's best for workers, we wouldn't see so much resistance to it, right? And so where do we go from here? What does this mean in the future? Are people going to be working from home? Well, the truth is, in this climate, we have not made working from home easier. Employers have lost control over workers in that little period where they were allowing them to work from home. This is being clawed back. Money and control aren't always motivating people the same way they used to. And this new motivator of freedom is also at play for employees. A ton of people are now saying that they would be turning down X amount of raises per year to keep their work from home situation. In many cases, people are prioritizing that aspect of the work to the in-office life. Return to office is also a double-edged sword. Companies get their control back, but at what cost? Do you lose some of your better employees? Do they find companies who are willing to put up with this in order to have that best talent? The cat is out of the bag. Workers now know what's possible. Forcing them back may work for now, but is that long-term trend good for the society that we have at hand? Is it good to enforce these kinds of ideas? At the end of the day, it really seems that organizations with the clearest visions, best culture, and of course, the best people find the ways to benefit them the most. just like Diamond said, if you don't want to work here, you don't have to. And I think that's the best way to think about it. On the other hand, it's really about people. If you have the best people, it shouldn't matter where they work. It shouldn't matter where they sign in from. It shouldn't matter when they do their work, unless, of course, you're talking to clients at certain times. True collaboration is really a little bit more fluid than it used to be. And if you can go from having to look in a certain locale for talent to looking globally for talent, I'm sure you wouldn't care as much that you have certain folks across the world if they're that much better than some of the employees that you can hire in your local talent. Similarly, I really do anticipate this global workforce to go against North American jobs and North American workers. If I can hire 5 employees in a lesser economic zone where people and wages aren't as costly, but the same work can get done, you're going to see a lot of companies shift their entire workforces overseas, just like manufacturing did. So I don't know if it's necessarily the best thing to mandate people working from home when that cat can be let out of the bag too. And there is a push and a pull here where if we go too far, companies will simply say, okay, well, I'm going to hire remotely from India instead of Canada or instead of the United States. Companies can also do a lot to ensure that their employees are happy and healthy in other ways, and they will look to do that as well. So that's kind of my point, is that there are nuances here, and the future of work is a bit of a myriad, but don't be surprised to see companies lean more into the remote work side when it comes to hiring cheap employees. That's going to be something they utilize all day, all night. For that expensive, high salary managerial role, you're going to see a lot of in-office mandates for that. Diamond isn't wrong, and his statements probably won't attract the top talent, but it also allows them to manipulate their workforce currently and set a better standard. They're obviously not okay with people working from home. This is definitely not going to change. And I see a lot of comments from folks talking about remote workers as lazy or inefficient or not career focused. I don't necessarily agree with that at all. And I think that when we're looking at work in general, with the way the economy is changing, with the role that some of these new AI tools are playing, why are we stuck in these antiquated, time-based, location-based ideas of work? In this world that is changing, that is globalizing rapidly, that is faced with ever more changing challenges, and an economy that is vastly moving from the old age to the new age, why are we stuck in this rigidity? Do we need to examine what work even is? Are we going to see UBI, 4-day work weeks, or entire changes to how companies interact and pay their employees going forward? Is part-time work going to be more realistic? These are all great things to think about. And when we build and we look at society going forward, we should be preparing the next generation to be a little bit more nimble with this idea, because I do think this is going to change. And I do think that a lot of the systems that are graduating new employees are also rather antiquated. And that's probably why the system is the way it is. That in corporate control. It is clear that corporations like the way things are. They have engineered a certain level of freedom for each employee so that they have enough money to spend, so they have enough time for their family, but they're also getting the exact amount of productivity out of them that allows them to pay their shareholders the dividends of those investments. What I mean by this is corporations clearly have no problem with the amount of control that they have over their employees. Cue more recent comments by some CEOs saying that the 60-hour work week is the sweet spot for productivity. If you are a CEO and you do not have to do the 9-to-5 commute, that might be true. For certain workers, I can tell you for sure that a 60-hour work week with a commute, with office life, leaves little room for personal development or any sort of excitement with other sides of life. Now, if you're a careerist, if you're somebody who lives and breathes their work, then you'll probably say, yes, Jesse, that's fine. I do want to work 60 hours a week at what I love to do. That's great. But when we go over to our friends across the pond in Europe, we see another side of life where work is another thing people do. It is not all people do. In North America, we have clung to this so tightly. but I do think that there is room for this to change. Working from home is one way that I have personally seen a little bit more freedom in my life, and it has made a tremendous impact in my productivity as a coworker, as an employee, as a person, as a father, a brother, a son. All those things that you can be in your life will naturally be improved by working from home, in my opinion. Maybe not your career necessarily, but that wouldn't necessarily be the bad thing either. Myself, I've been promoted working from home. I've had a lot of success. I've had career years working from home. So I don't necessarily agree with that format or that narrative, but yeah, there is a little bit room for nuance. So I think that going forward, this debate will become more centralized. Truthfully and sadly, working from home opportunities seem to be going away, and that does appear to be the trend. The best companies will not be concerned with this. They will be concerned with the talent, how nimble they can be, and how collaborative their teams can be wherever they are. I'd like to thank you today for listening to this episode on remote work versus office work. I hope that you have learned something, or this has got you thinking a little bit more largely about these kinds of trends. And let me know what your thoughts are. Which way do you see working from home going? Is it going to go away like I think? Is it going to become a centralized part of the economy in 10, 20, 50 years? Let me know. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Have a great day.